do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men? All right, here it is. Here's the problem. Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Again, because of time, I'm not turn there. He's bringing out that these people are like the people of Judah's day, or Israel's day. And Isaiah told them they were saying all the right things. They were saying, praise God. They were saying, glory to God. Let's worship together. Let's sing the songs. They were doing all the right things with their words and the things that they said. But here's the problem. Their heart was far from God. They would say we love God, but they really didn't love God. It was not in their heart. They wanted people to think they loved God, but they didn't love God. You know, we've got a lot of groups today who say that they love God, who say that they believe the Bible, but they don't believe the Bible. They say that they do, but they don't. For instance, the Catholic Church today. If you ask the Catholic Church or a member of the Catholic Church, somebody who's into the doctrine of the Catholic Church that way, you'd say, what does it take for me to go to heaven? They'll say this, you've got to do the sacraments. And if you don't do the sacraments, you won't get to heaven. Can I tell you something? That's not what God says. We don't find that in the Word of God. If you talk to a Mormon and you ask the Mormon, what does it take to go to heaven? How can I go to heaven? They'll tell you four things. You've got to have faith. You've got to repent. You've got to be baptized. And you've got to be a member of the Mormon church. If you don't do those four things, forget it. You don't have a chance. If you talk to a Jehovah's Witness, the Jehovah's Witness would say, well, there's not really any chance you're going to go to heaven. I hope that you can live on paradise earth. I'm just saying that there's all kinds of people and groups out there that say, we believe this book. We believe the Bible. But they don't really believe the Bible. Because what does the Bible say about going to heaven? The Bible says it's through the person of Jesus Christ. Look over in Acts chapter number 16, page 1172. 1172, Acts chapter number 16. And look at verse number 30. Acts chapter number 16, verse number 30, page 1172. We have here a situation where Paul and Silas are in jail in Philippi, and they're singing to God. They're praising to God. No doubt they're preaching there in the jail cell. All of these things that are going on here, and everybody's like, shut up, Paul, we don't want to listen to you, and all that's going on. But then an earthquake happens, and the jailer thinks everybody's escaped because of this earthquake, and I'm going to die. And Paul tells him, no, don't kill yourself. Don't commit suicide here because everybody's still around. And at that point, the jailer realizes, whatever you have, Paul, I need. And so he asked this question in verse number 30. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How do you get to heaven? That's what he's asking. I don't know, and I need to know. Tell me right now. And so Paul says, look at verse number 31. And they said, this is Paul and Silas. They said, make sure you're a member of the Baptist church. Is that what he said? No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, make sure you get baptized. He didn't say that. Make sure you're a good husband. He didn't say that. No, he didn't say any of those things. He said this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. In other words, believe on the person of Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. You can have a home in heaven. And matter of fact, anybody in your house who believes on Jesus Christ can be able to go to heaven too. This is a message for everybody, and everybody needs to hear this message. And we find in the text that's exactly what this man does. He believes. Now, look over to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. I want to show you another verse. Acts chapter number 4. Look at verse number 12. Page 1153, just a few pages back. Acts chapter number 4. Look at verse number 12. Look what the Bible says. It says this, neither is there salvation in any other. We're talking about this salvation, talking about this going to heaven. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In other words, there's only salvation in one man. In the context here, the man is the person Jesus Christ. That's the man. There's only salvation in him. There's not salvation in any other. Look in Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. Look at verse number 43. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 43. It says here, Acts 10 and verse number 43, to him, that is about Jesus. Jesus, all the prophets are giving witness. That's what it says. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, the name of Jesus in the context here, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the forgiveness. Remission is the word, but it means forgiveness of sins. How do I get the forgiveness of my sins? Through Jesus. Believing in Jesus. That is, believing in what Jesus did. What did he do? He died on the cross for my sins. Look at Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13. And look at verse number 38. Acts 13 and verse number 38. The Bible says it. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, again, context is telling us Jesus Christ, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe on the person of Jesus Christ, are justified from what? All things, all of your sin. Justified is a legal term, being made right or declared right. That's what the word means. So I can be declared right before God. Why? Because of what Jesus did. He died on the cross for my sins. So through Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things. Now you got to get this. From which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. I look back on the Ten Commandments. And you know what the Ten Commandments does for me as far as getting to heaven? Nothing. You can't be justified by the law. Isn't that what it says? The law's not going to get you there. What is? Jesus. Jesus died for your sins on the cross of God. Look at one more verse. Acts 15, verse number 11. Acts 15, verse number 11. Look what the Bible says. It says, but we believe. This is a council that's going on. And Peter's speaking. He says, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. That is, there was people in Peter's day, right here in this chapter, that were coming along and they were saying this, hey, you need more than Jesus to get to heaven. Look at verse number 1 in the text, verse number 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. In other words, you got to have circumcision or follow the law of Moses if you're going to be saved. That's a necessary thing. Wait a second. Didn't we just see in Acts chapter 13, you can't be justified by the law? But you're saying now we got to bring in the law. These are what these people are saying. Whoa. No. You don't understand the truth. You don't understand what is reality there. Look in verse number four. Verse number 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, this is Paul and Barnabas and them, when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church of the apostles, the elders, and declared all things that the God had done with them. What are they declaring? They're declaring this, that God has saved the Gentiles. God has definitely brought, no question about it, the Gentiles from their sins, given them a home in heaven. God's done that. And look at verse number 5. But there rose up certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. In other words, they said, well, wait a second. If they're really saved, then we got to do circumcision because, you know, they won't really be saved until we do that. Because why? Got to keep the law of Moses. Got to have that. See, what are they doing? They're inserting more. It's more than Jesus. Now look at verse number 9. Verse number 9, Peter speaking here again. And they said this, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, what he's saying in this, and I'm jumping into a context for time, but what he's saying is this simply, that there's no difference between the Gentiles and the Jews. And God justifies them both by faith, not by the law. What will the law do to get me to heaven? Nothing. Is there anything wrong with the law? No. But it wasn't designed to get me to heaven. It was designed to show me that I need somebody to get me to heaven. It was designed to show me my problem because I don't always keep the law. I don't always do what I should do. And so I need a Savior. I need the person of Jesus Christ. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he died for my sins so that I could have salvation. Now, come back to Mark. We've got to go quickly. Mark chapter number 7. we see here what's going on. Jesus is addressing these guys and saying, hey, there's a problem here. And what's the problem? Their heart is far from God. They're speaking the words, but their heart isn't there. There's no reality. They're fakes. They're hypocrites. That's what Jesus calls them there now. Now, notice the fruit. Notice what happens because of that. Look at verse number 9. Verse 9. He said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. All right, here it is. Here's what's happened. Because their hearts are not there, because they're far away from God, now what have they done? He says, you've rejected what God has said. You've rejected the commandment of God, and you've accepted or said, this is the reality, the tradition of men. Now, wait a second. We got a problem if you're doing that. You can't take the word of men over the word of God. You got a real problem. So he says there's a rejection, and he gives evidence of it. Look at verse number 10. Verse number 10. He says this, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. That is, here's what some of you are doing. Jesus just points out this illustration. He says, what's the law say about your father and mother? Well, it says, honor thy father and mother. Okay, that's what God's law says. Not only that, but it says here, if you're cursing your father and mother, let him die. He's quoting the book of Exodus here. He's quoting the book of Leviticus here. He's quoting the book of Deuteronomy here. There's several verses that address these things of which Jesus is saying. He's saying, that's what we have in God's law. But here's the case. Here's what you guys are doing in reality. Verse number 11, he says, here, if a man say he's got a mother and father that, here it is, need help. And the idea is that they need a financial help. They raised you. They put out all the money for it. They bought the diapers and they paid for daycare and they did all the things that were necessary for you. And now it's kind of flip-flopped. You know, they're old and they need some help. And so maybe they need somebody to sit with them and they don't have the money to pay for it. Here it is. What was right by Jewish standards was to have somebody to give help. If you have a family member that needs help, you ought to help them. And so that's what it's talking about here. And he says, but here's the case. Dad doesn't have enough money to pay a caretaker. A mom doesn't have enough money to pay a caretaker. Maybe they're a widow or widower here at this time. And you say you've got $50,000 in the bank. And so somebody would look at you and say, hey, shouldn't you help out mom and dad? You know, they need some help. They need somebody to pay for a caretaker. They need some help with food or they need help with this way, whatever. Shouldn't you help them? I mean, you got $50,000 in the bank. And they say, oh, Corbin. I said, Corbin? What is that? Is that the place in Kentucky that the Kentucky Fried Chicken started at? That was Corbin, right? Anyway, no, that's not what we're talking about here. They said, oh, Corbin. What does that mean? It means, here it is, I declared that money, that $50,000 that I have, set aside to God. Now, I know I haven't given it yet, but I'm going to give it. That's my intention. So I've declared it Corbin. I've called it Corbin. And tradition would say anything that's dedicated to God cannot be used for secular reasons. So even though I have $50,000 sitting in the bank, I've dedicated it to God. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. I wish I could help you, but I can't in this instance. And he says, you know what that's proving? You're corrupt. You're trying to get around the law of God. You're trying to work it out. What's the problem? The problem is not the law. The problem's your heart. Your heart. You're trying to do whatever you can not to obey God. My friend, we ought to be people who obey God first and foremost in all things. And look at the conclusion, verse number 13. He says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. You might as well, this is what he says, you might as well just take your Bibles and throw them away. Because you don't care what they say. You don't care what this book says. All you care about is your Mishnah that has the oral traditions, that has these additional laws in it. That's all you care about. You just care about the laws of men, not the laws of God. You're not listening to God. Can I tell you, for you and I, we ought to be people who says, I'm listening to God. I'm always going to listen to God. You know, sometimes as a pastor, I have people come up to me and they say this. They say, Pastor, is it okay if I do whatever? Fill in the blank. Is it okay? Now, here's the truth. If they're genuinely searching, if they don't know, maybe they haven't been saved very long, maybe they haven't been in church very long, they haven't learned a lot of things, I don't mind telling them. Is it okay if I do this? I'd say, well, this is how I would tell them. Well, let's look at what God says. And let's look at some verses. And let's understand what God teaches us on this matter, whatever this matter is. And you can come up to your own decision as to say, hey, is this right or is this wrong? Okay? But I'll just be honest. Most of the time, when somebody comes up and says, Pastor, is it okay if I do this? They're trying to skirt, go around the law of God. Or they're trying to do this. Come as close as they can to the law. Now, you parents know this, don't you? You understand this? Okay. Your kids come up and say sometimes, well, you said, and so where are they? They're right here. You said that I shouldn't do this. You know, as long as I'm in by, 9:59, I'm okay. 9:59 and 30 seconds, I'm okay. You know, you said, well, why are you trying to get so close? If I told my kid to be home, you know what a good kid would do? They'd be home well before the time. Not right into. You guys know this. Your parents, or most of your parents, you know what I'm talking about here. But yet people do that with the law of God sometimes. They do that with the word of God. And they say, God, how close can I be to the line? Can I ask you? Maybe a better question is this. How far should I be away from that line? I don't want to be close to it. I don't want to accidentally fall over it. I don't want to misstep. I want to be way over here. Pastor, how can I be totally given over to God? What's the Bible say? The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The verse John tells us in 1 John chapter number 5, to love the Lord is to follow his commandments. And then it says this, his commandments are not grievous. When you're trying to walk as close and as fine to the line as you can, Pastor, show me that line so I can get as close as I can to it. Can I tell you, you're thinking God's commandments are grievous. What God has told me, oh, that's tough to do. No. Your heart is far from God. Get your heart where it should be, and you know what you're going to find? Oh, God's commands are not grievous. God's commandments are not hard. Boy, it's easy to follow God's commandments, and that's what I'm going to do. Hey, there's a problem with the Pharisees and scribes. They're critical. They got their magnifying glasses out. They're looking, hey, where can we find the problem? You know what their problem was? It wasn't with what the disciples did. Their problem was they were looking at what man said instead of what God said. And their hearts were far from God. And I'll tell you what, in 2024, we've got a lot of people in the church today who their hearts are far from God. And they're sitting here, they're trying to say all the right things. And boy, they're singing the songs and they're cutting their hair a certain way and they're doing this and they're doing that. And they're saying, oh, I'm right, I'm right. No. Where's your heart? You love God? You gonna follow his way? I plan to cover a few more verses. We're not going to get to it today. I hope you understand. That's what Jesus is teaching these guys. And by extension, that's what Jesus is teaching us. May our hearts be ones that love God. with our heart, with our soul, with our mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, this text that we look at, and Father, shows us just the heart of these Pharisees and scribes, really, that is reflective of many of our hearts. Lord, many people who see what you say, who have the commands of God, who have the Word of God. They say they love the Bible, but Father, they just don't follow it. They don't listen to it. They don't heed it. Father, the reason is because their heart's not where it should be. And Lord, may we have hearts that genuinely love you. While your heads are bowed and while your eyes are closed, let me ask just two questions here. Maybe question number one is this. That is, maybe you're here this morning and maybe you've never come to believe on Jesus Christ. You never come to know the way of salvation. Can I tell you, it's not the way your heart is. It's not the law that you keep. It's coming to believe or rely on what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. That is, he died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. And when you would believe on him, God promises to save you, to give you eternal life, to give you a way of heaven. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I've never believed on Jesus Christ. But today, right now, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to rely on what Jesus did for me, that he died for my sins on the cross of Calvary. I'm going to believe on him to give me eternal life, to save me and forgive my sins and give me a home in heaven for all of eternity. My friend, if that's you, I'd like to be able to pray for you. And the only way I know to pray for you is just ask you to slip up your hand. Raising your hand is not going to get you to heaven. Believing on Jesus gets you to heaven. But I'd like to know that you're believing on Jesus, that you're trusting him to get you to heaven. I'd like to be able to pray for you, that God would be able to teach you more. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who'd say, Pastor, here's my hand. I'm believing on Jesus Christ. I've never done it before, but I'm trusting him to give me eternal life, a home in heaven, and I can walk out of this place knowing I have eternal life because of the promise of God. I believed on him. He gave me eternal life. Anybody like that? Here's my hand. I want you to know that, Pastor. All right, second question, simply this. Maybe you'd say, Pastor, I just got to be honest. I'm honest with God. My heart's not where it should be. God, I'm so worried about walking fine line. God, I ought to love you. I ought to have a heart that loves you. And I ought to conduct my life in a way that's not as close as I can get to the line, but I ought to conduct my life in such a way that it reflects my heart and love for you. And Pastor, would you pray for me that way? I need it. I need to do that. I'm making a decision right here this morning. I'm going to have a heart that reflects that I love God. Pastor, pray for me. Here's my hand. Anybody like that? I want to pray for you here. Heavenly Father, Lord, you've seen the hearts of the individuals here today. And Father, I pray that we'd have a heart that truly does love you. And Father, we seek to obey your commandments. They're not grievous. They're not hard. Father, may we realize and understand that it's not what men say or men come up with. Father, it's what you say that is important, that we need to know, that we need to follow, and Father, that we need to love. I pray that each one here, Lord, we'd understand that vital truth, and Lord, that you'd encourage us and help us in this here, this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's take our hymnals and close our service here this morning with 811, and if you'd stand with me, we'll just sing here together this chorus, His Name is Wonderful, 811.